John Hanson here. We'll take you till 7 o'clock. Craig Bolanos, Wealth Management Group. I know you're not one for gloating or taking victory laps, but at 35-1, Craig, you're reaching Chicago Bulls' second, three-peat status, like the 72-10 season. markets are up again today. No surprise. You're on with us.
John, it's not a surprise. I feel good because I was visiting with the other John on the lunch hour the previous week, and I said, hey, I think this market's going to hold at or near 5,000, and that's exactly what we did Friday, Monday, and a follow-through act today going into the close. So I think everyone's realizing that all hope is not lost. The economy remains okay. The soft landing still remains in place. Growth is there. Jobs are there. And I just don't think the sky is falling. Now, does everyone hate each other in the Middle East? Of course they do, but that's not news. It's been that way for generations.
Yeah, exactly. And geopolitical forces can change. We'll see what happens, but it seems like tempers between Israel and Iran have cooled a little bit after their actions back and forth. We'll see where it goes. But Craig, you know, you and I talked about last time about, well, you know, it doesn't look like we're getting all those rate cuts we thought we were. Why hasn't the market retreated back to the levels they were before the rally that was buttressed by that news? But Craig, I mean, a lot of what happens in the market is earnings. And for the most part, and we're going to learn a lot more this week, earnings have been good. Companies are feeling good, right?
Well, yeah, you know, John, you're right. We spoke before that coming into the year, people were expecting 6 or 7 rate cuts. Now the over-under is basically 2 at best. And when people say, how come we haven't had to reprice ourselves all the way back to where we were in the last quarter of 2024? It's simple. The economy itself has improved and growth is remaining resilient. So when you look at that, it really is a decent picture, and as long as growth doesn't slow, as long as rate hikes don't go on the table, as long as oil doesn't spike, and if AI enthusiasm remains, I think we still have a half decent recipe going into the 8 months that remain this year.
Do you feel like when you look at like consumer confidence and other things, and I know it's largely driven by the sticker shock of inflation that still remains, I know prices aren't inflating like they were before, but when you jump 9% at one point, there's a little sticker shock. Do you think that people have an expectation, like a soft launch or soft landing seemed fine? Are people being way too picky about how soft of a landing they expected? Like, what is this disconnect?
Being way too picky, John. I live in the real world, as do you. Oh, man, John, I remember talking about those Series I savings bonds at 9.6 2 years ago, don't you? Those were the glory days. You know, but it came at a price. The inflation was absolutely out of control. The Fed was offsides. The inflation was stubborn and persistent. But here we are today. It's recency bias. John, we spent the better part of 15 years with interest rates at or near zero, and we all got used to it. We also spent a very lengthy time with inflation, literally at 2% or sub 2% for a couple of years. So I'm sensitive to how expensive it is every time we go to the grocery store. I see it on my Visa bill when we do our month-end reconciliation. But the reality is the environment that we're in is somewhat normal. It's not ideal. It's no longer 2019, so I'm not telling people to go take a chill pill, right? But I am saying, hey, listen, everybody, let's be realistic. A Fed funds rate at 5.25, I'm pretty sure that's what we've averaged for the last 50 years. So having a Fed funds rate right there today kind of feels like home. It's not unusual when we go back in history.
All right, we got to take a break. Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group, 833-WMG-PLAN. We'll talk a little bit more about what you guys do at Wealth Management Group. And I got a question about the GDP. But first, weather traffic time. Yeah, Craig, Iridian's ex-boyfriends used to all give her gold necklaces. Now, since she's been producing this show for, 2 years, 2 months, after 3 dates, she wants treasury bills. That's what Iridian wants as gifts.
I love it. Oh, Iridian, you must be a fantastic date, an expensive date. You know, given the choice between gold and treasuries, I'll take a little bit of both because gold is certainly having a good year this year, as have been your mainstay, John. Treasuries.
Better believe it. Okay, so GDP, we're going to get the number on Thursday, I believe, for Q1. The initial rating, it changes over time. But we're anticipating over 2% for the seventh quarter. I think that would make eight quarters in a row, which doesn't sound all that impressive on its face. But the last time we did that was 20 years ago. And I checked in a few spots to make sure that I was correct there. Maybe, do we not know how good we have it right now in the economy overall?
Oh, I would just like to say this. I mean, if we're keeping score, and who doesn't keep score? We keep score at the Wealth Management Group. Just remember, John, the U.S., we are upholding our status as the major global economy. We are the richest country, and we've been at that pinnacle from 1960 until today, and I think it's important that we keep it. And if you think about what still makes America great, we've got this substantial consumer market. We foster innovation, the entrepreneurial spirit, and think about the resilient infrastructure we have, the advantageous business conditions. I want everybody to not feel bad about printing numbers in the twos. This is an awesome streak, and we should all be celebrating it, especially when we look at it through the context of where else the rest of the world is and the streak we've been on.
Yeah, I think we tie so much now to our elected officials that if we don't like the person in the White House, and this goes for both sides over the past 7 years, if the number is good, we don't want to like celebrate too much for fear of someone thinking that you're giving the president that you don't like credit. And I think that that's crud. I hate that about us now.
You know what? I'm happy you said crud. I'm going to call it crap because it is, right? But the president always sits at the top of the food chain. Again, fiscal policies are not moving national economies with the strokes of a pen, but leaders of countries are always going to take the credit. Leaders are always going to take the fall, and everybody trying to climb to the top is going to try to play politics. John, that's why I love your show. It's honestly sincere and actionable ideas that people can use to improve their lives, and that's what we're doing. That's why I phone in whenever you call me.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk about Tesla. You know, it's been not a good year for them, but they've had some recent good news. It seems like they are pivoting to meet the market a little bit for where it is now with EVs.
Well, you know, after the close, Tesla came out and said, hey, don't worry, that idea of not doing the affordable EV, hey, we are going to have it by 2025. And that's important because you got Tesla popping after the markets close and their announcement, and it's needed. I mean, Tesla's off by more than 40% from its high. That's a pretty big decrease. But I just think this EV story is not going away, even though there's been a little bit of an EV revolt. I think everyone anticipated everyone was going to buy an electric vehicle. That's clearly not the case. Fossil fuels are not dead. Let's be honest. It's a price thing. It's an infrastructure thing. It's an everything thing. But I think if you can see Tesla deliver affordable EVs, that's going to continue to move the needle, not just in America, but abroad.
I want to ask about what you do at Wealth Management Group as it relates to this, because I think everyone needs to be looking under the hood at your 401ks, your retirement plans, whatever, to make sure that they are pretty well balanced. As the Magnificent Seven may, I don't know if they're going to rally back up again, but if they lose a little steam, like for example, I mentioned this during the Winter's lunch. I was in for Mr. John Williams today in the business lunch. And I mentioned that on Friday, every five companies in the S&P 500, 300 out of the 500 had a positive day, but the S&P 500 had a down day just because of how heavily weighted the top seven companies are. I imagine you guys can help with the Wealth Management Group take a look under the hood to make sure that that portfolio is balanced, and as the S&P, if it does continue to go up, that you are balanced amongst the entire S&P 500. Do you kind of get what I'm asking here, Craig?
John, I know exactly what you're asking, and it's so pivotal and so important. We talk at the Wealth Management Group about in the 1970s, we had the Nifty 50, 50 stocks that propped up the market. We all know how some of those names ended. Then we had the Select 20, and I ask you, how's the share price of AOL and Lucent and JDS Uniphase and Tell Labs? How's that working? And then, of course, there's the Mag 7, seven stocks propping up the market. You've already seen one of those stocks injured. That's Tesla. So what does it take to get retired and stay retired? You can't just own S&P. You need to take a look at the ingredient weightings of the S&P and make intelligent decisions, because if markets get revalued, and ultimately there will be a day of S&P revaluation, you got to make sure you don't get caught. And that's why we use our risk intelligence software to specifically make sure people are in a position with strategies that are TNT, tested in the trenches, to not just, you know, no one wants to survive retirement, John. You want to thrive retirement. That means protecting choice, and that means having a very well-laid financial plan backed by robust investments. And that's what we do, and we do it well.
I imagine you do. I imagine you also, you know, balance small cap, big cap, stuff like that. And all the things that we talk about on the show, I think people, you know, if they Google long enough and try hard enough, they're going to get a general understanding and can do a lot of this work themselves. But you want to talk to someone and have a look at it. I always think it's great to empower people to start taking ownership of what they have. And that's great. But you get to a certain point and you go, let's look in the rearview mirror here. Let's look at our blind spots. And we can't do that to our own portfolios ourselves. And talking to someone who's done this for a while certainly makes a difference.
Yeah, and John, it's not just an investment thing. At Wealth Management Group, a lot of the leverage comes from the income taxes, not the tax preparation. It's all about the strategy. It's connecting the taxes with the insurance, with the estate and legal, with the cash flow modeling, and ultimately the investing plan. And when you sincerely bring all those synergies, because you have multiple professionals under one roof, which we do at the Wealth Management Group, that's what allows people to move from being in the right direction to something that is custom and bespoke to them. And it's just an exciting space to work in.
Right. I don't think estate planning and insurance and these other things can be in individual silos. Like, there has to be some cohesion to that plan.
Yeah, I mean, everything has to talk to each other. I mean, what I think about is, even if I go back to the income taxes, you know, I speak to everybody, and if you're in, we're going to get nerdy for just a second. John, if people are in the 22 to 24% tax bracket, middle class, that's a majority of your listening audience. That's where all of these deductions and credits phase out or are cliff tested. And John, what's easier, to save $200 a month or to structure your income to qualify for a $2,500 tax credit?
Yeah.
I think that's where the leverage is. And then once you know you're firing on all cylinders on the tax side, then you can start talking about being intentional, how to save, how to build, how to ultimately cash flow. And I don't want to make it complex, but it does need to be engineered in order to get optimal results.
833-WMG-PLAN, 833-WMG-PLAN. Craig, I look forward to talking to you next time, not only because it's a great conversation, but I'll like my portfolio that day, I think.
Amen. We're here to keep 401ks and make them 501ks, not go the other way. John, make it an awesome night.
Thank you, Craig. Have a good one. Good friend Craig Bolanos.